pray together. Our Father, our God, our Lord, our Savior, our brother, our friend, would you bless this moment with special care and tenderness? Would you silence the distractions? Would you give us peace? Would you make the pain a little less bothersome in these next few moments? Would you take the sting out of my disappointments? Would you take the bitterness from my mouth and my heart, that I would celebrate your word? Would you take my mind off of what I have to do for dinner, where I have to go from here, so that I can celebrate your word? Would you stop me from worrying about the clock, the time, and how long it'll be before I can leave, so that I can celebrate your word? Would you do that for me, sir? Because I can't do it for myself. I tried to tell myself that I was over it, but I'm still bitter. I'm still disappointed. I'm still hurt. I got a nagging pain that I don't even want to talk about. And I tried to do it myself, but I can't. And so would you do those things for me, God, that my pastor mentioned, because he was talking about me. I'm the one today that needs to focus so I can celebrate your word. I came on a tight schedule. I came to stop off here to go somewhere else, but I need to stay here and not worry about going somewhere else. Because, Lord, I'm the one today that needs the word. I can't focus. I can't settle down. I can't keep still. God, I'm honest with you today, and just I want to tell you, I got too much going on. But I need to settle down. I need to focus. I need to sit still so I can hear your word. I've tried the meds. I've tried the recreational things. I've tried everything, but I need a word. Because what I've come to discover is I'm nothing without the word. I thought if I had the right job and met the right people, hung out and laughed enough and partied enough, that I'd be much better off. But Lord, ain't none of that stuff worked for me. So here I am again in this little church on the corner with these few sheep, because I need your word. And I know there's no quick fix. I know there's no magic. It's going to require my faith and my obedience. It's going to require everything in me right now. But I need your word. So God, bring the word. And God, I pray now that you'll use me just for a few minutes to be the vessel that brings that word. And when we have shared together in this place, we move on to the next great thing, the next challenge, the next adventure. We will handle it differently because we have a word. God, don't let me make the same mistakes twice. that I've made twice already. I want to change my life today. And I pray, God, that it's in the Word. Forgive me, Lord, of my sins, and just have mercy on me. Lord, there's some stuff I can't tell nobody but you. And me telling you, Lord, ain't nothing because you know already. So would you forgive me and help me stand up again, get my head out the locks of my shoulders and quit dragging my feet, that I can run on and see what the end shall be. I need a word. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some praise together. Come on, you can do a little better than that. If we can get everybody to praise the Lord, just everybody. If somebody on your row ain't praising him, give him that funny look. Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Grab your Bibles, Matthew chapter 10. Amen. God bless you. I know it's late. I know it's almost 1 o'clock. I know. I know. I ain't sorry about it, though. I'm not going to say that today. I'm not going to tell you I'm sorry. I'm not. Because we were having such a great time in Christian Academy. Okay, I was. So that pushed everything. But wasn't it worth it, though? I mean, wasn't it? I mean, I'm okay, 5 of y'all agree with me. Okay. And you know what the real truth is? You're going to leave when you want to anyway. But I'm staying. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 10. I just want to use one verse as a foundation because actually I'm preaching through the whole chapter, kind of, sort of. Verse 5 says, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, 12 disciples in your version or other versions with these instructions. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a little while with this thought in mind. And I hope this will bless you. But I want to talk to you by simply saying to you that in order to gain boldness, you've got to first get the basics. In order to gain boldness, you've got to first get the basics. The text, Jesse, says that Jesus is sending out 12. What the text also says is that in order for them to go out and be the apostle, the disciple, with Jesus' pedigree, they've got to have the basics before they can become the boldness. In life conversation, we have this analogy that says that we must be very mindful not to put the cart before the horse. Not only does it sound silly, it looks silly. I mean, can you, in your imagination, very quickly envision a horse behind the cart? Let me give you a better picture. Those of you who are familiar with what we call icons, if you will, the Budweiser Clydesdales. Don't act like y'all don't know Budweiser. But can you imagine those horses behind that wagon? It don't even look right. It don't make any sense. And those two guys in that Dalmatian sitting up in the front there like they always do, and the horses are behind the wagon and facing in the right direction, you say to yourself, they've been drinking the Budweiser. You know, who in the world hitched up them horses? And now, if the horses were behind the cart and the guys were up there and the dog and the horses were facing the other direction, you think, oh, they got to pull the cart backwards. And then they'll bring. But if the horses looking at the back of the wagon and they sitting up there with the things in their hand, the reins in their hand, you'd say, what fool put the cart before the horse? They ain't going nowhere. And so, out of your spiritual imagination, back into the scripture, you can't become the boldness if you don't get the basics. Deacon Walker, one of the reasons Greater Brookville is in critical stage now is because we have so many folk that have neglected the basics that it don't even make no sense for us to talk about boldness. We cannot fool ourselves into greater ministry when we have not even invested ourselves in basic ministry. We cannot suggest to ourselves that we will grow from the outside in when our inside is bad and won't go outside. Jesus now sends out 12. The reason, Chris, that he can send out 12 is because of what he is doing before sending out 12. Now, in the short verses between verse 1 and verse 5, you don't get the whole scope of what Jesus has done, but you do get some indication. I suggest that these guys have qualified themselves in some ways that others did not. Those of us who are Bible historians and understand the Word of God know that there were more than 12 that attended the academy. There were more than 12 that showed up at sundry times to be with Jesus. They sat in great numbers. But when Jesus got to the hard stuff, when it was time to push them beyond the average, that's when the boldness and the basics caused separation among them. See, elect of God, you were never designed to be basic. I mean, come on. You've got too much color and too much vibrance, and you're too smart for that. How many of you have ever been around people that are living beneath their smart level, conducting themselves? We have another saying, Ashley, you got to act your age and not your shoe size. Now, if you got big feet like me, you'll be about 14 the rest of your life. But I mean, if you look at what's happening in the church should be bold. The church should have it going on. But we lack the ability to rise to that level because we miss basic training. Jesus says to us through the text that I need more folk to go out. If you read the rest of the 10th chapter, you will discover there are several things that are happening. And if you get over to about verse 16, there's an interesting thing that Jesus says. He said, look, I'm telling you now, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. See, that tells me right there, Sister Harmony, that we need to really adjust how we look at the church, because we keep trying to look at the church like it's some spring break and everything just hunky-dory. No, we are wolf people. We are designed to engage wolves. But we got this sheep attitude. Because anytime we see wolves, we want to run away rather than confront. Jesus says, if you came from me,
You need to understand boldness puts you in the company of wolves. Because wolves need to be changed. Jesus says to them, three things have to happen to you before, and I'll try to give you the short version because I see where some of y'all is not loving on me. Jesus says the first thing that you need in the basics is to understand your connection is to me. Yeah, your connection is to me. See, some of y'all, if I could say things about church and it wouldn't bother some of y'all at all, but I say something about your wife or your children, or you want to fight me. Jesus said your connection ain't to your mama and your daddy. Your connection is not to your spouses. Your connection is to me. See, everybody ain't nodding like this right now. Everybody looking now trying to act like, you know, that's offensive to you because you trying to get me to downplay my relationship with my wife and downplay. No, homeboy, homegirl, I'm trying to play all that up if you get this right. Because as I've said to you before, if you get your stuff right with God, you're going to be a blessing to everybody else. Why? Because God ain't going to play you cheap. God will make you a real somebody because you belong to him. Jesus said to them, guys, if you're going to get this thing right and you're going to be elevated, you got to understand your connection is to me. The second thing he says to them, Wanda, is that your commitments are to me. You're going to go out and report back to me because I sent you. And it doesn't matter what happens to you along the journey. He said, listen, you're going to stand trial. You're going to be persecuted. Things going to happen to you. But you got to remember who you're working for. Because if you don't know where you work, you ain't going to know where you're going to get paid. That ought to make sense. Jesus says to them, I'm sending you. And please understand that if you stay connected and committed, your covering will come from me. Jesus said, I won't let nothing happen to you. He said, they're going to want to kill you. They're going to come at you, but you're covered. Now, those of you who have automobile insurance, life insurance, you understand what I'm saying. You do know that insurance is a bet. They're betting one way and you betting your way. Some say we're betting we're going to live and cash in, and the insurance company betting you're going to die and we'll pay somebody. However you want to flip that. But the fact of the matter is, at least you're covered. Amen. And so Jesus says to them, I'm not serving up sugar and ice cream and stuff. I'm putting the threat level at the highest level it can go to. Please help me understand, beloved God, why did the church turn into a summer camp when what it should have been was a war zone? You want to go to summer camp, you need to go somewhere else. And I know some of y'all already made that decision, but I'm telling you now, this Bible speaks of a war zone. Jesus said, they're going to come after you because I sent you to them. What good is the church if all we're going to do is come in here and close the door, pull our windows down and clap ourselves into oblivion and jump up and down and shout, sweat, get all hyper caught up, and then get in our cars and go, ooh, child, we had good church today. And all we do is bury each other. Because we ain't convincing nobody here of nothing. People here are already convinced, I reckon. I'm going to sit down a minute and think about it. Y'all call me when you're ready. I mean, Jesus says, you ain't going out there to be pretty. You ain't going out there to be dressed up and recognized and bowed and curtsied to. You going out there to fight. And that's what's wrong with us, Deacon Walker. That's why we look like we look now, because we've lost our fight. We want to come to church on the terms of neutrality. We want to come to church without any hurt or harm or any unnecessary requirements. We want to look churchy. want to stain our windows. We want to cushion our pews, carpet our floors. We want to paint our name on the side of vans and ride around. We want to be known as the church. We don't want to do church. We don't want to stay connected like that. Because, again, it's disconnect time for most of you all Baptist folk. 1 o'clock is disconnect time. I'm going to lose more than half of y'all. The further I go, Sandra, the more folk I'm going to lose. Because you're going to be sitting there going, how do I politely walk out of here? Because it's time to go. It don't take this long. Other churches have gone home. Well, a lot of folk done gone to hell. You want to catch up with them too? See, y'all don't like me, but I love you. And see, the reality is, it is Jesus. Listen, your fight is not with me. Your fight, if you're going to fight, and I don't suggest it, but Jesus is the one who stresses connection and commitment and covering. It's not me. I don't write the Bible. I preach the Bible. And if you really adore having a pastor of any integrity, you want me to preach the Bible. Yeah. And so Jesus said to them, he said, listen, you need to understand the total commitment. I'll shorten it up, Jerome. Jesus says that people are going to hate you because of me. That don't sound like no delicacy and sweetness to me. That sounds like warfare. The instruction manual of the Bible has been neglected far too long. This is what Jesus says, Addison. You need to count the cost before you sign the contract. Addison, there are people who sit up in this church, President, don't turn around, please, and they're looking at me in a way that I don't like it. But I understand why they're looking at me like that, because they didn't count the cost. Ain't no book said that church supposed to be from 11 to 1 o'clock. Ain't no book said that you can give like you want to give. There's nothing in this book that says you can come and go as you please. This has never been about what you think or what you want. It's about what he said and what he gives. Nobody don't like me. The problem is that we have made the church into a amusement park. It's a big bouncy machine, and we got roller coasters and cotton candy and fun and mirrors that make us look this tall and shrink us and that ain't the church. Jesus says to us in no uncertain terms that you have to understand total surrender. When I was in first went in the military in 1978, I went to basic training. And I saw these guys with these hats on, and they barked out orders, and they had the little shiny belt buckles back then and said, this will defend, and little thing and patches. And I said to myself, I want to be one of those guys. But you can't be one of those guys until you finish basic. You can't be shouting and barking instructions and taking charge and training others when you haven't done basic. Herein lies the emptiness of our church. We will never fill these pews because too many of us are refusing the basics.
Come on.
Ain't nobody shouting now. Ain't nobody waving at me. Ain't nobody saying too much to me. But you don't like what I'm saying to you. But if you don't like what I'm saying to you, it ain't just me talking to you.
Yes, sir.
I still got the book open. What I just mentioned to you is right there in verse 22.
Uh-huh.
The instruction manual of the church has been neglected. We never did anything without the training manual.
Come on, man.
I will name, explain, and demonstrate. Yeah. That's how we opened every training session. I shall now name, explain, and demonstrate.
Yeah.
We have to learn how to name, explain, and demonstrate.
Yeah.
You can't make disciples if you ain't a disciple. Jesus says this, and I'll pause. Come back next week. Jesus says, the way you love me and serve me ought to make it look like you hate everybody else.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's in the bottom line. I get it. He said, you got to do three things. I'll give you three shortcut versions, and I'll go. First of all, he says, you got to love me so much that even your parents start thinking you don't love them. You don't believe me? It's in your Bible. Turn to chapter 14, if you will, or stay with me and just go down to verse 37 through 39. You don't have to do it now, but it's in the text. Let me help you along through here. He said, let me help you understand. If you cling to your life, you lose it. But if you give it up for me, you find it. That's real love for him right there. See, we get up in the church and we want to sing, it's my thing, I do what I want to do. We are so quick to disassociate ourselves with the connections that ought to be verified in every opportunity of our lives. That little girl looked at Peter and said, you one of them. He said, no, I ain't. Happened again. You one of them. No, I ain't. The very thing that you are denying is the very thing that holds your deliverance. You love him. You love her. But you can't love God like that. If Serena Williams can win a championship coffin,
come on.
I can finish preaching coffin. You have choices. Your choice about God shouldn't have anything to do with me. Or the deacons, or the size of the church, or the time inconvenience.
Come on.
Your choice should be about him. That's the only thing that's going to save you. But the revelation is, some of us don't want to be saved. There is no other name by which men, women, boys, and girls can be saved except the name of that's connection. We got too many socialites sitting up in this church. Because we only come because of the social ramifications of churchness. Some of us are here because this was my mama's church. No, it wasn't. Some of us are here because we helped buy a brick or a pew. So, that ain't the connection. That's socialite church. We want to be a salvation church. And I will tell you that a salvation church goes through its struggles because it must wean out the socialites. Jesus said, unless you really with me, where Miss Scott right there? Miss McKenzie is right there. Miss Anderson's right there. Miss Price right there. I got another teacher. Well, I got one more educator. Who am I missing? Miss Davis, Deacon Davis. Jesus says, unless you're really with me, you got to get gone. Thank you. What took you so long? You would have thought my wife would have come to help me loan through there about 5 minutes ago. She looking at insurance possibilities. Genworth, don't pay off. You got to get gone, because if you're not connected to me, you can't help me. You can't eat off me. You can't drink off me. You can't live off me, because you're not connected. Let me help you. Short version, I'll be done. I'll just stop. How many of you would let somebody just come in your house and eat your food and sleep in one of your rooms on your goose down feather pillows and all that kind of stuff, and they ain't with you? They got to what? Get gone. Obviously, some of y'all got some tenants y'all need to deal with. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to make it hurt that bad. Jesus, Sandra, is this stress inducer. It's not me. You have a problem with me for no real reason. I'm the least of your troubles. I really am. I'm not the problem. Don't try to make me the problem. A lot of y'all gonna hit that top step and go, there he go again. And that's not the issue. The issue is, did he open the book? Yes. Did you see what he saw in the book? Yes. Did he say what was in the book? Yes. There is a lifetime. I'll just quit. There's a lifetime that you got to live. And it's going to constantly swing between chaotic and calm. Just going to happen. And it's right there in chapter 10. Jesus said to them, listen, no matter what happens, either you're with me or you're not with me, but no matter what happens, it's going to happen like this. You're going to go from calm to chaotic no matter what. Why not hook up with me so that I can command and control the chaotic and you can better enjoy the calm? Because he said it's going to happen. He said, listen, brother's going to betray brother. That happens whether you're saved or not. But then it checks, verse 21. Children rise up against their parents. I wish, but they do. That's in verse 21. Everything that's going to happen in life is going to happen in church life. The advantage we have is the Bible said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Knowing that God got my back helps me stand up against what I got to stand up against. And I ain't faking it. So he says, well, you got to learn that the realities of basic is that everybody got to do basic. The second thing is that you got to count the cost before you make the commitment. 15 minutes after one, you can afford this. Too many times, you've been around here, some of y'all have been here, Jasmine, Raven, Jennifer, Deacon Campbell, Deacon Davis, Sister Laura, y'all been here long enough to see this. How many people have we seen come down these aisles, join the church, and the next Sunday, you don't see them? How many people have we baptized and didn't even stay to get the Bible? They didn't count the cost, but made a commitment. I promised the Lord. And then when we hold them accountable, we become the SOBs of our time. SOB, something other than blessed. Come on. Y'all thought it. I didn't say it. I gave you my version, something other than that. He says, he says, you got to do that because it's you that's making the commitment. You listen, you ain't no fun church. You not no amusement park. You got to be a war zone. You got to count the calls. You got to say, somewhere along the line, you need to read chapter 10 in its entirety. Because this is really what it looks like, Harmony. This is what it looks like. He says, this verse 25, and I'm going to leave you alone because I can see where y'all look at me. He says, and I want to read it so you don't think I'm playing. The student shares the teacher's fate. The servant shares the master's fate. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, how much more will it happen to you when you become members or disciples of the household? See, that stuff y'all didn't read when y'all joined the church. What Jesus is saying is, whatever happened to me, gonna happen to you. However it goes for me, it's gonna go for you. And see, what some of y'all have already done is all you did was went to Calvary and said, they crucified him. Please go further than Calvary. Yes, he hung, bled, and died. Yes, they put him in the tomb. But can I get Baptist for a minute? But early that Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave, not with some power, but with all power. And inasmuch as we die with him, we are sure to rise with him. Jesus says, count the cost. Don't jump in there because you like the chandeliers and because you like the fellowship and you like the handsomeness of the congregation. You got to count the cost. Here's the problem, and I'm done. Some of y'all did count the cost and decided it wasn't worth it. So you play the game. You put your left foot in. You take your left foot out. You put your left foot in. And you shake it all about. And you do the hokey pokey. And turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. That's not church. You can't left foot in and take your left foot out. You can't put your right hand in and take your, you know, that song goes over the whole body. We even have our head in it. That's what some of us look like. That's why some of us can't worship in spirit and truth, because we playing the hokey pokey. When the choir sing what we like, when the choir stop, we stop. Because it's the hokey pokey. True worshipers don't need no band. They don't need no acoustics. True worshipers start here. In here. Stay here. Live here. Because if it ain't in your heart, we're saturated with ambiance and have no genuineness to us at all. See, you mad at me? But that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, my Father is looking for true worshipers that count the cost. Some of us, I wish a little bubble would come above y'all head so I'd know who I'm talking about. I can get to it then. Some of us are too fake for our own good. Deacon Walker, some of them ain't coming back next Sunday. Already made up their mind. Already said to themselves, I don't come here for this. No, this is what you come for. You made the mistake of thinking it was something else. We are well overdue for True Doctrine Church. And see, I told you in March night, 2014, that we're going to jump hard. You know, y'all thought I was playing something. He done said stuff like that before. I was totally kidding about that 15-minute thing. Now, you knew that was a joke. If you took that one serious, you don't know me at all. But my point is, I'm going to stop, Chris, we going. You got to count. And then the last thing, last short version, is that we should be a good influence on others. It's in the text. Jesus says, when they see you, when you come into these places, when you are before them, it is because of me that you'll know what to say. You'll know what you ought to be a good influence on others. He says that because they see your integrity and your consistency and your connection and that you're covered, they will turn you loose. They won't hurt you. They'll look at you and say, loose him. Let him go. And Jesus says, even if they kill you, you've died a good death. So, beloved of God, I'm going to leave you alone. I see that I've upset you. It was not my intention to do so. It was some gravy down in the other parts, but you had to earn it. I only got the first paragraph. I'm serious. It's only, come here. I need a witness. This is the first paragraph. Isn't that 1, 2, 3? That's the first paragraph, ain't it? That's all it is. All that time you said to yourself, that's all we did. You think I should read this next verse? Okay. He said, read this verse. This was going to be part of the gravy. I'm convinced, and I'll say it this way, that there are many good people in this church. Nice people. All of y'all got the same potential for productivity. The disappointing news. It's right there. He said, go read that part right there. I didn't ask you to go that far, but that's okay. But the disappointing thing is, here it is, Deacon Antrim, that many of us will never surrender to the lifestyle of moving from just pew dwellers to productive disciples because we're angry and frustrated because of the truth. It's right there. He's right. You listen. I know you can go home. In fact, if you got to leave, go. You got to go to the bathroom. Make it look like that. I don't care. But what I'm trying to say to you is, y'all all right people, man. Y'all all right. Y'all good people. All of y'all good people. But I mean, aren't you at some point in your life going to be interested in being more than just a good person? I mean, don't you think that a pastor ought to push us to be more than just good people? I mean, you know, we got good voices in our choir, but we could have great voices. We got good ushers and nice ushers, but couldn't we have greater ushers and more disciplined and committed ushers? We got a bunch of guys, nice deacons, good fellas. All of y'all are good people. I've been to some of y'all houses. I've sit down with you, laugh with you, joke with you, you know. You're good people, but don't you want to be more than that? I mean, come on. I mean, what's so disappointing to all of us ought to be the fact that we're not bold yet. We're just milling around, doing the same old thing, taking up the same money. You know, we ought to be bold. We ought to break the bank sometime. We ought to just, you know, we started leaving the basket out thinking that somebody would get inspired. Y'all don't never get inspired to give or to do more. I mentioned it the other day. Some of y'all ain't never been to Bible study. Never came to Christian Academy on time. Never, don't even think about it. That's less than basic. Jesus says, send the word of God. We'll go. There's a way that seems right. But that way, it's going to lead to death, destruction, loss of favor and gain, because we are not committed. And you good people, just good people. But aren't you even frustrated with yourself to think that you are not a greater disciple? That you're not helping grow your church or build your church. You're not. Your family doesn't even know how much you love God. Only a few people know you even go to church. Nobody is looking at you saying, "I want to be like you," because you should have influence over people. Somebody ought to want to be you to the glory of God. Not because you know how to cheat the time clock and you know all of the ways to not do work. That will work harder, work smarter. You know all of the little tricks of the trade. But does anybody know how much you really love God? Do they know you love him at all? Let me make this last observation. Peter says in the letter to the church at Philippi, if you get a chance to read it, he says, you ought to be confident of this. That he who began a good work in you is going to be the same he that carries it, that sustains it and strengthens it and structures it until it's completed. Now watch this. Not when you die, but in Christ Jesus. That I thought that would be a shout. I put that in. That was going to be some of the gravy that y'all had, but see, it didn't work like I thought it would, Sandra. But that, listen to what he says. He who began a great work in you, a good work, a great work in you. Don't be mad at Leroy. Don't be walking around trying, he preached too long or he want too much. I didn't start this in you. I met you along the journey, foolish enough to think that we are of the like same kind. I thought since we were in church together, we were churchy together. But Paul says to the church at Philippi, your confidence ought to be in this. It's chapter 1, verse 6, if you really need to see it. He said, be confident of this. I'm looking at your faces from here. I'm closing the book. I see a lot of lack of confidence. I see your frustrations. I know that you're a little ticked right now, but you'll be all right. You've been ticked before. I strongly advise you not confront me. I believe in the ministry, all of the ministries of the church. But I see a lot of lack of confidence, Sister Carrie, on a lot of faces. You're sitting here today, and you're going to go, and you'll be gone here most directly, and you're sitting here today thinking to yourself all the wrong things. Because if what I have said to you in the last 47 minutes has not convinced you to be connected, to be committed, and to enjoy the covering of God, you missed the whole point of it. I wasn't trying to pick on you. I'm trying to lift you up. You've been picked on enough. The devil going to give you enough hell between here and then that I ain't got to do nothing. But I refuse to sit back and watch him whoop up on you and not give you something to fight back with. Oh, because it's going to happen. Even the elect of God get accosted by the devil. My house ain't no different than yours. My children, my wife, my friends ain't no different than yours. We walk around in my house sometimes not talking to each other. They miss me when they do. I got bills. But the fact of the matter is I got stuff to fight back with. Because I got a word from the Lord. I have discovered whenever I want to win for show, I start quoting what I know he said. In the words of the great Calvin Coolidge, there is nothing in this life greater than persistence. I refuse to give up on you. When the quit happens, it won't be from me to you. It'll be from you to him. I refuse to give up on this church and these good people. Let God be glorified. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are praying our way into the offering of salvation. In this room, bring honesty. In this room, call us now to accountability. In this room, we make the offering of connection. Draw us nearer. We have lived our lives with smoke and mirrors. But Lord, on this day, we must now determine to accept the offer of salvation. The text before us simply says that you sent out the 12 with these instructions. And so, God, we want to now revisit and reevaluate the instructions that we would make the necessary calculations, that we would count the cost, that we would become so committed to you that other commitments in our lives almost become non-existent. Our lodge is not the most important thing. Our sororities, our fraternities, our board seats, nothing will become greater than you. Our commitment to you will be our life. And as we heard you say, that apart from you, we have nothing. God, in this room, it is too evident that we all have way more than nothing. And we know that everything has come from you. And so, God, because you've already cared so much and showed how much you care, save somebody today. When heaven and earth have passed away, all we're going to have for sure is your word. And the psalm writer declared, "Thy word I've hidden in my heart." Save somebody today, that they can begin living the hidden life, where your word wakes them up and cozies them through the day and gives them good rest at night. Save someone today that has been in the amusement park of church for far too long. They've rode every ride and eating the Italian sausage and the cotton candy, the funnel cakes, drink those big lemonades and ate that turkey leg. But now, God, we need to make a decision. And we're coming out of the amusement park because salvation was never there, that we would walk in the holiness and the light of our God. You are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, you are our everything. Save somebody today while every eye is closed and every head is bowed. Move on somebody today. As we wait in this moment for
for a man or woman, a boy or girl, to make their decision. We will not judge. We will not investigate. We are no longer concerned with your yesterdays. My brother, my sister, we are investing now in your newness of life. Save someone today, Lord. Somebody in here needs to be saved. God, rekindle the flame that has gone out. Some brother or sister in this church, in this setting today, used to love coming, love to worship and lift up your name, and the fire has gone out. But there's an ember that yet remains. God, light that fire. Bring back the joy of worship and praise and giving, serving. Somebody used to be an usher. Somebody used to be in the choir. Somebody used to be a trustee or used to be a deacon. Bring back the fire that your servants, servant soldiers, servant leaders would rise. God, breathe breath into us. Though many thought we were dead, God, breathe into us that we would live again. Oh, God, that we would again run to the church, run to prayer meeting, run to Bible study, run to our rehearsal requirements, run to our meetings, run to fellowship. Breathe on us. Breathe life where death tried to make its claim. Breathe life where frustration stopped up my ears and closed my eyes, hardened my heart. Breathe life into tithe and offering. Breathe life. They thought I was dead. So that I can live. God, I want to live. I changed my mind about quitting. I changed my mind about disobedience. I changed my mind about dying. Breathe on me. Breathe on my sons and my daughters. Breathe on my wife and my husband. Breathe. Life at Greater Brookville will be a light in dark places. Be hope for them that were hopeless. Be strength for those who are weak. Breathe. Father, when you have ministered to us as we need to be ministered to, we shall be very careful to give you all the praise and the glory. For in you we live, we move and have our being. Breathe life. In the name of Jesus. So, in fact, if you are here, my brother, my sister, your decision, we await. If there is one, would you come out of darkness into the light, into the life? Father, we thank you. If there is any truth yet to be remained, if it exists in this place, then God, let it change us. If our pride would not allow us to stand in this moment, God, in our private time, would you deal with us? Because we are sure that you can. Nobody does it like you. Save your children, God. And we move into our boldness. We don't know the day nor the hour, and you will return. And God, we pray that when you come back, we can go with you. That you don't catch us with our works undone. We'll keep our lamps trimmed and burning. We want to go with you when you come. And we say, God, in closing, come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name. Redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Yeah.